From the book of Acts, I'll be reading chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to that good work and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him up to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. And he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. They became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. My message today is entitled, "Miracle in Joppa," or "What's a Miracle?" It was the summer of 1996. I was going on my first of many mission trips to Piedras Negras, Mexico. The family that I would encounter there, like all the others on the trips that would follow, would change my life. The family of five lived in an area that had become known as Tierra de Esperanza, the land of hope. It's an odd name for what it was. You see, in general, Mexico is an exceptionally economically divided country. There really is little to no middle class. And in an act of benevolence, the rich government gave back to the poorest people of Piedras Negras by giving them land. Basically, what actually happened was that the landfill got full, they covered it up, and they decided to give it back to the people. So, like I said, Tierra de Esperanza is a sort of odd name for the old city dump, Land of Hope. Now, our first full work day, I was stunned as the work van literally bounded down dirt roads towards our work site. The images were so vivid, and more than 15 years later, play back in my head as clear as any video. We turned off the main road with a sort of a thud. Even the sparse foliage that had lined that main street were absent here, little to no shade could be found to escape the temperatures that would range into the hundreds each day. We wound and turned in and out of bumpy dirt roads that were lined with single-room houses made from cinder block. Many of them were only built halfway because the family ran out of money, but they knew that it was much better to sink what little money they did have into building their house than to put it into the very questionable banks that were available to them. I saw little children playing outside barefoot on rocky and dirty filled-in dump site, which was littered with red fire ants. Very few of them could afford even the most basic shoe. With each turn, it actually just got worse. Tierra de Esperanza became more and more barren until we finally turned onto the road where the family that we would be working with lived. Many of these lots were empty, other than dirt and rocks. And some had extremely simple lean-tos that seemed to be made out of previously discarded scrap lumber that they found in the old junkyard. As we slowly pulled in next to the lot where we would be working the rest of the week, I was sort of taken back. Next to the stacks of cinder blocks and bags of concrete, and just diagonal from the slab where the new home would be built, I saw the family of five coming out, excitedly pouring out of their existing home, if you can actually call it that. It stood no taller than my shoulders. And it was only about 15 foot by 15 foot on any side. And each corner was bolstered by a fallen tree limb that was about the size of a 2x4, planted upright, in between which there were smaller branches, also planted upright and bracing it across with varying distances. And then the cardboard that was their walls were actually held in by rusty nails and old bottle caps so that it wouldn't pull through the cardboard. As I said, out emerged this smiling family. Mom, Dad, doubling over just to get out through the door. Well, the sheep that was their door. I remember thinking, Tierra de Esperanza, land of hope? Really? Land of hope? Let's stop there and turn for a moment to today's scripture. It's the story of Tabitha, the disciple. That's right. The disciple. It's the only time in the Bible that a woman is specifically named as a disciple, but clearly that does open the door for every disciple, every woman we see in the New Testament to be understood as a possible disciple. Tabitha herself is noted for taking Jesus' teachings to feed the sheep and to take care of them very, very seriously. As the text says, she was devoted to good works and to acts of charity. Now, I actually want to pause there for just a minute. While Peter is not the focus of this story, many people would say that he plays this miraculous role in it. Standing in the tradition of Elijah and Jesus, he raises Tabitha from the dead. It's actually a wonderful bit of wordplay the writer uses to remind us of the story where Jesus raises a small child saying, Talitha cum, little girl, arise. The storyteller gives a near echo of those words by having him say, not Talitha cum, but Tabitha cum. Peter, in this storytelling, is standing seriously in the storylines of Jesus and Elijah when he resurrects Tabitha. Now, all of this just makes me wonder, why is this story so frequently referred to as the miracle in Joppa? Matter of fact, that was the original title of this, was Miracle in Joppa? Why are we so willing to think of the resurrection by Peter as a miracle? Admittedly, most of us probably the first time we'd ever heard a story like this, we assumed that it was a miracle. We sort of knew that it was. Miracle quite literally means the miraculous and unexpected. The miraculous and unexpected. Based on that understanding, I now have to disagree with this story being called the miracle in Joppa. Whether you think Tabitha was really resurrected or not, the story as it is told says that she was. And we see it as a miracle, even though biblically this is not the first time this has happened. As a matter of fact, biblically, in terms of how the story is told, it's exactly what God said would happen. You see, if Tabitha had simply been a nice person that was a member of the church at that point called the Way, but not a particularly good person at caring for those who were less fortunate, and then had been raised from the dead, then her resurrection would have actually been a miracle in terms of being unexpected, miraculous, unexpected. But she was doing, in this story, exactly what Jesus had taught, feeding and caring for the sheep. This was no miracle. This was exactly what Jesus promised was going to happen for those who followed in the Way. And that takes us to this question, at least in my mind it does. If this is not a story about a miracle, what is it about? Distinguished professor and theologian Walter Brueggemann has this to say about this particular event. Clearly, the narrative attests that Peter, the church, is entrusted with the resurrecting power of Jesus, who himself carries the force of the Creator. The church is entrusted with the power to create new life, boldly, concretely, locally. It is no wonder that in the book of Acts, the church is always before the imperial authority for their capacity to bring life out of death, because that capacity threatens the very status quo. This is not a story about the miraculous, at least not in terms of the unexpected happening. It is a story not about the unexpected, but about the expected. What's expected of us and what we can expect in return. As Brueggemann points out, the church should always be seen as a threat to the status quo. The radical behavior of bringing something out of nothing, the radical behavior of finding light in the darkness, the radical behavior of finding life in death is exactly what the church is supposed to be about. It's no miracle. At least not in the modern sense. It's simply who we are. It's what is expected of us. Bringing new life to a world that too frequently feels hopeless. C.S. Lewis puts it this way. Miracles are retelling in small letters of the very same story which is written across the whole world in letters too large for some of us to see. The story that was written across the world, the universe for that matter, is a story of improbability. One scientist estimates the probability of life on Earth to be 1 in 10 to the 282nd power. That is, and this is a real word, believe it or not, 1 in 1 trinonagen trillion. So, said differently, life is just unimaginably unlikely to have happened. If you're looking for a miracle, that is it. That is the miracle written too large across the universe that other miracles are only a small echo of. According to Lewis, miracles are the telling of a story, retelling of that story, the largeness, the unlikelihood of that story, but in small letters or on a much smaller scale. Perhaps the fact that we are here is the miracle. We each are miraculous, and we each are capable of interacting with a miraculous world. Particularly for those of us in places of privilege, I feel like we frequently miss the opportunity to see the miraculous in the everyday stuff of life. And perhaps, the real miracle happens when we finally realize that. That's the lesson I learned from the family who lived in Tierra de Esperanza. My modern-day convictions, my willingness to accept the status quo, made the smiles on their faces and the reality of their environment incompatible. My privileged sensitivities could not understand what Tierra de Esperanza, the land of hope, why in the world that place was thought to be hopeful. That week in those children's eyes, and the way that those two girls, ages 5 and 7, used their one toy, a rusty old wagon, to bring cinder blocks from the pile to the place where their new home was being built. In the way their parents readily brought the only thing they owned that loosely resembled a plate for every one of us to have communion as we gathered outside of their new home at the end of the week. In each one of those things, and in so many more, I saw something that I had lost. Real hope. Real hope. All of the things my privileged life had distanced me from, the possibility of experiencing hope every day. Those small letters that reflect the larger hope that the universe has painted into the very fabric of creation had become somewhat oblivious to me. I had come to think of miracles as unexpected, but they there at the Tierra de Esperanza, those young girls and their family taught me something that I fight daily in this land of privilege. Something I fight to hold on to. Hope can be found in every day if we are willing to expect those kinds of miracles to happen. Hope can be found in everyday life if we expect those kinds of miracles to happen. I have to say, at this point, I can think of no better name, Tierra de Esperanza, the land of hope.